I am the Ascended Master, Saint Germain, and I am very grateful for being provided a platform whereby I can speak the perspective of the seventh ray on how we can bring Korea and Asia into the Golden Age. Now, bringing something into the Golden Age implies, of course, that we are not already there. But this is a statement that might be cause for consideration, for in many respects, South Korea is already in the Golden Age because you have achieved so much progress since the devastation that followed after the war. And you have shown such a willingness to improve, such a willingness to work hard, and such a willingness to move forward that in many ways you are in the Golden Age already. Now, of course, as I have said, the Golden Age is not a static society. It is an ongoing process of growth, and therefore you can say that South Korea is in the beginning stages of the Golden Age, and there is much more to come. But nevertheless, I wish to have you acknowledge that I do not in any way consider South Korea a deficient society or a society that is behind the times or behind the plan for bringing forth the Golden Age. You are in many ways right on schedule for bringing forth the vision I have for this nation. And this, I think, deserves my gratitude and my congratulations. Now, those of you who are the spiritual people can, of course, see that there are still things that are not according to a Golden Age matrix in your society, but nevertheless, you should not go into a negative state of mind and feel like you are coming from a deficit. You should not look at your own nation with mistrust. You should not go into the state of consciousness that we see in America so much with many who go into these conspiracy theories and believe that everything is bad and there is a manipulation behind the scenes and so forth and so on. Of course, there is manipulation behind the scenes in the sense that there are fallen beings everywhere and they are always trying to do what they are always trying to do. But nevertheless, my point is this. There has been so much progress in South Korea that you can consider yourself in the beginning stages of the Golden Age. And therefore, you can move forward with the attitude, with a consciousness that we are building upon a good foundation, and therefore, we do not look at ourselves or at our society as being deficient or behind. This, of course, is not the case in North Korea, which is behind. It is not the case in many other nations in Asia that are also behind. But South Korea is not behind us. That is why I said in Holland that I consider South Korea the key to Asia, the key to changing the mindset of Asia. Now, what is it, of course, that I, as the Johann of the seventh ray, envision needs to happen for the Golden Age to be brought into manifestation in the greater Asian area? Well, it is, of course, that from my perspective, the absolute key to bringing the Golden Age is freedom, to bring freedom. Without freedom, how can there be a Golden Age? How can there be a new era of of innovation and inventions that will bring forth all of the thought matrices, all of the ideas, all of the practical technologies that are needed to manifest the Golden Age? It cannot happen without freedom. And with freedom, I do not mean only physical or political freedom, not only economic freedom. I mean, first of all, freedom of the mind. Therefore, there must be a freedom to think in new terms, to think outside the box, to think outside of these matrices, these traditional ways of looking at life, that actually is one of the greatest hindrances to the manifestation of the Golden Age, especially here in Asia. And so what is it that I wish to give you in this installment? Well, it is simply that there needs to be a new awareness that people in Asia need to gain a freedom from a certain mindset that has been very dominant in this part of the world for a long time. The mindset I am talking about is somewhat subtle, but it can be described in this way. There is a great desire among the people in Asia to live in a very orderly, structured society where everything can be predicted, everything can be controlled, and therefore there are no surprises. Now you can see, for example, how many past societies and even present societies have achieved to accomplish this kind of society by creating a very centralized society that has a very strict, orderly form of government. And this society has defined specific roles for all of its citizens. There is a role for the peasant, for the worker, for the soldier, for the administrator, for the leaders, and so forth and so on. This goes somewhat back to the Confucian philosophy that has in many cases been taken to an extreme, but it must be said in all fairness that while Confucius was an embodiment as Confucius, he also had a desire to create a very orderly, structured society. Now, the fallen beings, of course, have taken these ideas to an extreme because they have used the desire for a structured society to reason or argue that in order to create a structured society, you need to create a society where everything is predictable. And in order to make everything predictable, we need to define these very strict, narrow roles for all of the people in society. And therefore, when you are born in a certain family, you are automatically born into a certain role, and you need to educate yourself to fulfill that role. You need to accept that this is your role, and then you need to carry out that role for the rest of your lifetime. And we might say that, as there is the saying that some people sell their souls to the devil, in a sense, many people in this area have sold their soul to security, to the living in a secure society. And there are many, many people who have accepted these roles because they have, as we have said, they have, as we have said before, come to the point where they were not willing to make their own decisions. They were so afraid of being wrong, of creating dire consequences for themselves, that they were wanting to be in a situation where their life was predictable and where they could look at the rest of their lifespan and they could see that if they kept carrying out the task that they had been assigned in their society, then their life was secure. There would be no great surprises. There would be nothing that would shock them. There would be no undesirable consequences. And so the fallen beings have understood how to take advantage of this situation. However, if you go further back and ask how this situation could arise, you see precisely, as we have also mentioned many times, that the fallen beings are the ones who have created such an unbalanced state on the planet that people experience these very severe consequences of their choices. So it is actually the fallen beings who have created the situation where people's choices lead to such drastic consequences that people become afraid of making choices. And so the fallen beings then come in and take advantage of the imbalance they have created to take society to a point where they can set themselves up as having almost total, almost godlike control over society. And when I say godlike control, I of course mean this precisely according to the definition of God, also created by the fallen beings, where it is seen as if God is this remote being in the sky who wants to control everything. This naturally is a false god, as we have explained. But nevertheless, How many people have been able to see this? How many people have been able to free themselves from the image of God, the image of the spiritual realm that has been put upon them by the fallen being? Therefore, many people have come to believe that, especially in past ages, that the rulers of their society had some authority or were ordained by God to be rulers. And therefore, whatever they said was a divine edict, a divine decree, and that if the people followed it, they would go against God himself. They would go against the will of God if they went against the will of the leaders of their society. Now, what is it that happens as a result of living in such a society? On the one hand, you may say that people have great security. You know from modern times how many people in communist countries have felt that after communism was abandoned, there is such insecurity in their societies that they do not want to deal with it. A certain percentage of the population longs back to the security they had when they knew that they had a certain standard of living, a certain job that was guaranteed for life. And so many people also in this area of Asia have sold their souls to this God of security, and they have looked forward to a life that was predictable. And what is it that happens in the deep psychology of the soul when it is in this situation? Well, the soul knows, even though the person does not know this consciously, the inner being of the person knows that it is not growing. It is not fulfilling its reason for being. You are, as we have explained, self-aware spiritual beings. Your purpose is not to live a secure life for 60 or 70 years in this embodiment. Your purpose is to live a life so that when you leave that embodiment, you have risen to a higher level of consciousness than when you entered that embodiment. If you leave at the same level at which you entered, or if you even go below the level at which you entered, then you will have some inner knowledge of this, and you will therefore know that you are falling behind, that something is missing, something is not right. This is the inner knowing that has caused many of you to discover the spiritual path and to put forth great effort to walk the spiritual path. And so, my beloved, when the soul knows within itself that something is missing, that it is not growing, then what the outer person, what the person feels at the conscious level is a certain discontent with life. You are constantly dissatisfied with life. No matter what position you have in society, even though you may be one of the privileged elite who has a privileged position, you are still dissatisfied. It is not quite enough. You are not quite where you are. And this creates a very conflicted psychology, where on the one hand you have the desire for security, but on the other hand you have from deep within this deep satisfaction that wells up. And so as you become older in such a structured society, you come to realize that you are actually boxed in. You have no possibility of changing your station in society. You cannot transcend it. You cannot go beyond it. It is not a matter of how hard you work, how innovative you are, how creative you are in coming up with new ideas. If you are a peasant or a soldier, an administrator, that is what you will be for the rest of this lifetime. And so what starts growing within the soul is a certain resentment, a resentment that must be directed out from itself, because the soul is not willing to make its own decisions. You understand that there is the outer limitations of society that are put upon you. so that even if you did change, you could not really change your station in that society. But there is also the inner limitation where when you have a fear of making decisions that lead to undesirable consequences, how can you even decide to do anything different? But if you are not willing to acknowledge your unwillingness to make decisions, then you reason with your outer mind that it is society that is limiting you. And so you must direct your resentment outwards. Now, you have two possible scenarios for people living in such a society. One is that they stay in the station that they are assigned to for the rest of their lives, and their society is orderly, is predictable, and so that nothing dramatic happens in that society. In that case, the resentment continues to grow and can very quickly become a form of anger that is directed at anyone where it seems appropriate or risk-free to direct that anger. This means that in any society, you will see that people will direct anger against those they feel are below them. This means that the top leader may direct anger at anyone. Those who are at the next level of leadership down may direct anger at those below them, and so on. And even the one who is at the lowest station in society in terms of his outer occupation may direct anger against his wife and children. And of course, the women who often have no job or no occupation, no station in society other than being wives and housewives and mothers, they might direct anger at their husbands. And so you see a society where even though everyone has security in having a certain lifestyle, they are all more or less angry with each other, and they are often interacting with each other based on this anger, resentment, and irritation. Now, the other scenario that is possible in such a society is that something happens that disturbs the sense of security. This has in the past, in many, many cases, been war, but it has also been natural disasters. It has also been the overthrow of a certain political leader or even a political system, the bringing forth of something new that upset the order in society so that the people who thought they had a secure station for the rest of their lives suddenly lost their position, lost their privileges, or they had to change their station. They had to change to a different occupation. They had to adjust to new circumstances. And again, when you feel you have lost something, when you feel you have to adjust to the new, then many people become angry because they, after all, had made this deal where they thought that if they submitted themselves to their station in life, then they should not have to change. They should not have to adjust. And so what you often see is that when there is some kind of change that is unexpected, then you see anger as a result. You will see this in many of the Asian societies where it is beginning to dawn on the people that times are changing, that the way they were brought up to see their lives and their station in life cannot be maintained over time. You see, for example, in China, how there is a very strong resentment among certain parts of the population. This is partly those who had seen their lives as being in a certain box based on the old communist system, and now this is changing. And therefore, they feel they are losing their grip on society. And it is entirely possible that there will be a major confrontation in China within the next decade between those who are trying to hold on to the communist system and the communist structure and those who have moved into the new and seeing the opportunity and who are focused on making money and raising their station in life through their making of money. So there will be an established power elite of the Communist Party officials and administrators and the aspiring power elite of those who have taken and are taking the economic power. And this has the potential to create a major, major disaster in the Chinese society. It may not lead to a violent revolution, but it certainly can lead to very great tension. But you see a similar pattern in Japan, not quite the same way because of the lack of the communist influence, but you still see an old established power elite that is seeking to hold on to the old ways and a newer power elite that wants to take over and wants to bring society in a new direction. What you also see in a number of Asian nations, including South Korea, is that you have a growing inequality between rich and poor. You see that there are those who are becoming increasingly rich, even beyond any kind of reasonability, because they have taken advantage of the system, they have taken advantage of the growth, and they have used the privileged positions that they attained in the corporate structure, sometimes even in the government through corruption, to hold back those below them. They have therefore, instead of sharing the wealth with the people, they have concentrated the earnings of a company to go to the shareholders instead of being shared with the employees. And so there are people who have worked their whole lives who feel that their standard of living is slowly being eroded, and they feel this is unjust. Then the next conflict that is lurking in many societies is the conflict between young people and the older, more established people who are still having their prime positions in society and in the corporate structure. Many young people have been brought up from they were small that they needed to get an education, they needed to get a good job, they needed to get a certain kind of job, and they have focused their lives entirely on going through this very, very strict, very, very demanding educational system in order to get the good grades and in order to get a degree, and then they come out with their degree and their paper, and they suddenly are faced with the reality that there is not a job for every graduate, and therefore they cannot be guaranteed the secure life that their parents had and that they were brought up to think that they would have. And so again, you see that because of the rigidity in society, because of this structure where everyone felt that if only they found a certain station in life, and if only they accepted that station and met the demands of that station, then their lives would be secure, their lives would be predictable. Now, because of this very structure, when people realized that the security that they had seen as their right in life is not there, then the reaction is anger. And of course, anger does not lead to growth, and anger does not lead to progress in society. It is therefore very important for you who are the spiritual people to be the forerunners to overcome this consciousness in yourself, but also to make the calls that society will find a way to deal with these issues without going into this state where everything is so inflated and every problem is so inflated by anger that it is impossible to talk rationally about this. Now, what you, of course, see in many areas of the world, and which you saw in the West, for example, with the discontent among the youth in the 1960s, is that in many cases, the older generation who feel their lives are secure, They do not want to listen to the young people until the young people go to an extreme and become very angry. And this then, unfortunately, sets the debate in society on a non-constructive track that often leads to bad decisions that are not actually to the advantage of anyone, and that often actually allows the power elite to go in and manipulate the situation. And so it is important for you to hold the vision and make the calls that the South Korean society can find a more constructive way to deal with this issue. And I know that this is a very big challenge, and it will be very difficult to deal with this issue, but I also know it is possible. You see, my beloved, what other masters have talked about is that there has not been the value or the worth of the individual. It has not been seen by society. It has not been seen by the people. Nor has it been seen that there is a necessity for a society or a corporation to invest in the people and see them as a resource. The only way to really deal with the situation of young people as it is today, and as it will become even more pronounced in the coming years, is to shift the way you look at life, where you begin to realize that the purpose of life is not security. The purpose of life is not to find a station, to accept a station, to educate yourself to fill a certain station, and then work in that station for the rest of your life until you retire and then eventually die. So what you need to make the calls for is that people in South Korea begin to shift their view of life, their view of what it means to be a human being, where you begin to realize that as a human being, you have worth in yourself. Because you are not a human being, but a spiritual being. This is a transition that has, to some degree, happened in the West. And that is why I say it is possible to begin this transition. I'm not saying that any Western country has completed this transition, because there is still much confusion and much problems in the West in terms of shifting the view of life. I am only saying it is possible, it has been demonstrated, that you can learn as a society to put greater value on the individual. This will also help many of the young people to see that their value as a human being does not depend on them having a job or having a certain kind of job. It can even help society come to the realization that it is not only acceptable, but can actually be a benefit to society, that there is a certain amount of people who are not following the traditional model of educating themselves to hold a certain job and then holding that for the rest of their lives. There is value in having a society where a certain percentage of the people can step back from letting their lives and their attention being swallowed up by the very demanding work in the current situation. There is value in having some people who have free time and free energy and free attention to focus on other aspects of life. This is what you have seen traditionally in the many monks and nuns, both in the Buddhist religion and in other religions, who have withdrawn from society and focused on a more religious or even spiritual lifestyle. Yet because of the way modern times have developed, this is not so common anymore. But you see in many Western nations that there is a certain percentage of the people who are not having a job and who are living a sort of in-between existence. where they have not discovered the spiritual side of life. They are just coasting along, living off of whatever welfare benefits their society offers. But if there can be a shift where people can come to see this as an opportunity to focus on their spiritual nature or to focus on developing their creativity, then it can change the equation so that society can begin to deal with this problem in a more constructive way. For I can assure you that on a worldwide basis, the issue of youth unemployment is not likely to improve in the near future. There are many, many countries around the world that deal with a large unemployment among young people, in some nations up to 25%. And this is an issue that needs to be dealt with by shifting perception of what it means to be a human being, what it means to be a good member of society, what it means to have worth. You cannot continue a situation where people's sense of worth is defined by their outer station in society. This is, of course, the way it has been in the rigid structure I have described, but it is not the way it can be in the Aquarian Age. In the Aquarian Age, the growth that will happen is that people will begin to see their inherent value as spiritual beings. But there will be a transition period, and it is inevitable that there will be a transition period where people must come to begin to question whether you really get your value through your outer station in life, especially through your job. You will see that this will require great adjustment throughout the world. And it is unfortunately so, my beloved, that this is an absolute necessary requirement for the bringing forth of the Golden Age, but it is also something that many people are reluctant to consider. And as we have explained, when people are reluctant to learn from divine direction, they must learn from the school of hard knocks. And the hard knocks are coming in various ways, but one of the ways is precisely this growing phenomenon of unemployment among young people. Because when you see that people have been brought up to strive for a certain station in life and been promised security in return for it, and then suddenly the security promised is not delivered, then you will see discontent, and you will see that many of these young people will not remain silent, and they will speak up, and they will demand change in their society. And this will unfortunately lead to various conflicts. But what I ask you to do is make the calls that your society can overcome this problem and overcome the anger and the resentment and find a more constructive way to deal with the issue. For there are, of course, ways to deal with this issue. Among them, first of all, to look at the situation where you have allowed these corporations to focus wealth in the hands of a very small elite. Now, I know well that whenever I talk about sharing wealth, there are some, especially in the United States, but also elsewhere, who will immediately yell communism. But what I am talking about here is not communism. But I am not talking about either of extreme, uncontrolled capitalism. For, as we have said before, when the Soviet Union collapsed, what collapsed was the age of isms. It was not just communism that collapsed. It was also capitalism and any other form of ism. What collapsed was the age where it is enough for a society to adopt a certain philosophy and then think that this philosophy will solve all of their problems. This will no longer work in the golden age. And therefore, a society needs to go beyond these systems that are thought up either by the human mind or the fallen mind, and that wants reality to conform to a set of ideas. In the golden age, there needs to be an awareness that we need to use what Mother Mary has called the wisdom of the mother to ask ourselves how life actually works. And therefore, we can look at a society, for example, as South Korea. You have had the division of Korea with a communist North and a South that was not communist. And there has been a tendency to think in South Korea that capitalism is superior to communism. And therefore, if only you allow capitalism to run its course, then you will create a more prosperous society. And indeed, my beloved, by allowing capitalism to run its course, you have created great wealth in society. But precisely because capitalism has been allowed to run its course, that wealth has been increasingly concentrated in the control of a smaller and smaller elite of people. For that is precisely what capitalism as a system is designed to do, just as communism is designed to control, to concentrate control in the hand of a small elite. In a communist system, that control is gained through the party, but in a capitalist system, it is gained through control of the economic apparatus, whereby the wealth becomes concentrated, and through the wealth you can control society. So you need to step back from this situation and say, now that we recognize that there is a growing gap between rich and poor, that there is a growing youth unemployment, it is necessary for us to acknowledge that the form of capitalism we have had has reached the end of its useful lifespan, and it is time for us to take a critical look at it and see its limitations and then create a new approach. We are not here talking about creating a communist system, for communism is dead. We are talking about reaching for a new approach to the economy, where you realize that a society that is a free society cannot remain free if it allows a small elite to gain absolute control of the economy. A capitalist system is a system where a small elite demands to be given unrestricted freedom to take over the economy. But this cannot secure freedom for the population. And that is why you need to recognize that despite all of the rhetoric that has been put out there since the advent of communism, capitalism cannot and will not produce a free society. It will produce a society that is as unfree as a capitalist, as a communist society. Only it will be achieved in a different way. And so you need to recognize that there is a need to find a new approach to the economy. I do not say a new economic model or system, for we are not looking for a system or a model. We are looking for the growing awareness that if a society is free and claims to be a free society and wants to be a free society and wants to be a democratic society, then it must make sure that a small elite cannot take the freedom and the privileges away from the greater population. it needs to secure the greatest amount of freedom, the greatest amount of prosperity for the greatest possible number of people. And therefore, it needs to be recognized that the wealth that has been brought forth in the South Korean nation does not belong to a small elite of shareholders in large corporations. It belongs to the people, because it is the work of the people that has created that wealth. And therefore, society needs to find a way, and each nation needs to do this in its individual way, according to its culture. But society needs to find a way to limit how much wealth can be concentrated in the hands of a few people, so that the wealth brought forth will be shared among the people. This can happen in a number of ways, but one way is to create a new way of organizing corporations so that the profit that is generated will not just go to shareholders, or rather it may go to shareholders because everyone who works for the corporation becomes a shareholder. And it is not enough to simply buy shares, but you have to actually make an effort and work for the corporation in order to earn shares. But there are, of course, other ways that are too complex for me to explain in this discourse. But surely there are people in society, including in South Korea right now, who have the attunement with me to bring forth the specific ideas that are needed for South Korea to transition into a more golden age structure for society and corporations. And if you, who are the spiritual people, hold that vision and make the calls, then it can indeed happen if people are willing. And you can, of course, make the calls that people will be set free from the old matrices. And you can make the calls to reinforce the action of Shiva, where you realize that the demons that were created in the South Korean nation are precisely those created by the power elite who are upholding the current status quo, where the corporations have free reign. And therefore, by calling for them to be bound and consumed, you will set people free to suddenly feel like a weight has lifted from them, and now they are able to think clearly. They are able to step back and say, something is missing here. Something cannot continue the way it has been. We need to look for a new approach. We need to look for new ideas, for we cannot continue on this track. And when that happens at a certain scale, at a certain critical mass, then you will begin to see change. In the beginning, it will not happen publicly because there is a certain tendency in all Asian nations and in Korea as well, that we must maintain the facade. We must maintain the outer impression. And of course, you find this everywhere around the world, but you do find a variation of this in Asia, in Korea, where it is very important to maintain appearances, to maintain face, to preserve face. And this, of course, will mean that just as we talked about with the mind of the dictator who cannot admit that he was wrong, it will also be very difficult for the South Korean nation and its leadership to admit that they were wrong. Now, you are all aware of the disaster with a ferry that was wrecked not so long ago. And you all know that there is some kind of cover-up here. But I can tell you that there is no conspiracy that caused the crash. It was actually a failure of the system and the approach of the people, their attitude to their job, where they were so concerned about following rules, maintaining an appearance all throughout the system from the design and building to the operation of the ship. And therefore, it was a failure of the system. And there is no one who is willing to stand forward and admit this, because it is judged by those who know that it would be too damaging to the trust of the people and to the reputation of the Korean society. And so you see that there is this consciousness, and it is a very strong consciousness, and there is, of course, a demon at top of it that needs to be bound through your calls, that absolutely wants to maintain the appearances that all is well, all is under control, and there has not been a failure of the system. But you see, my beloved, as we have attempted to explain, it is not a matter of thinking in terms of failure. I know it may seem as if there are so many things that need to change. There must be something wrong somewhere. There must be a failure somewhere. But as I started out by saying, I do not consider South Korea to be a deficient nation that is behind. You have made such great progress. It is not a matter of suddenly beginning to think you have failed. It is a matter of simply realizing that you have risen to a certain stage in the development of your society. And in order to continue to grow, in order to rise to the next stage, you need to let go of some of the old patterns, some of the old ways of thinking, some of the old patterns of action. You need to therefore look at the old, and you do not need to label it as a failure, my beloved. You do not need to appoint a scapegoat. You just need to recognize this is no longer the best approach. We need to look for a better one that can take us to the next stage. And when there is that openness to look for a better approach, I promise you that I will release it through the people who are open. And you can therefore make the calls that society will begin to overcome this almost obsession with maintaining appearances and making it seem like everything is just perfect. My beloved, if everything was perfect, why are so many people dissatisfied? But the reason why they are dissatisfied is what I have explained, the consciousness. And so you see a tension in society. Because you see, as I explained, that when people sell their souls for the sake of security, there is a growing discontent in the soul. And it must be directed outwards, and that is why so many people direct it at society. But at the same time, you also see that society as such wants to maintain appearances that everything is good. And so there is no outlet here. There is no outlet for the tension. And you know how the old steam engines had a boiler, a kettle, where you lit a fire and you poured in water that created steam, that created a pressure. And the pressure was needed to make the engine produce work. But there had to be a safety valve so you could release pressure. Because if the pressure became too great, there would be an explosion. And so you need to make the calls that society will find a way to look at itself and to deal with the various issues that come up in such a way that pressure can be released, or actually a better way to look at it is that the pressure is not just released into the air, but is released into giving momentum and direction to a new way of approaching society's issues. Instead of looking at failure, instead of resisting growth until something breaks down so that it becomes obvious that there is a failure, you can transition in a new direction without having this very embarrassing, very shocking realization that something has failed. You all know that this very incident, as shocking as it was and as terrible it was for the people involved, has become much more than the incident itself. It has become a symbol, and it has become a symbol of this dynamic I am describing, where more and more people know that something needs to change, but there is a resistance to changing because of the belief that if something has to change, there must have been a failure in the old. So you need to make the calls that there is a new approach, that it is not a matter of appointing a failure to the old, but simply realizing that in order to grow to the next level, we need a new approach. We need new ideas and new methods. This, my beloved, has been a big mouthful, and I have given you many things to contemplate. But as you clearly know from my history of giving dictations, once I get started, it is not easy to stop, because I am indeed so eager to see progress in all societies. And I am indeed very eager to see progress in South Korea, because it is a nation that is dear to my heart, and there are many souls embodied here who are among my own, those who are attuned to me and who have embodied here precisely because they see the potential for bringing forth aspects of the Golden Age in South Korea that can be an inspiration for other nations. And so, with this, I thank you for your attention. I thank you for creating this gathering where you have come together and made it possible that I could speak this message. Surely, I have much more to bring forth to the Korean nation, and I will find ways to bring forth these ideas through the people in various positions in society who can receive an idea. Maybe many people can receive only one idea, but there are enough people who can receive these ideas that everything that I desire to bring forth can be brought forth. Because, of course, not everything can be brought forth through a messenger, no matter how educated or knowledgeable this messenger is. We desire to bring forth many ideas from the people who are in positions to implement them. But how we can use a messenger such as this one is to inspire those of you who are spiritual people to make the calls and to hold the overall vision so that the Golden Age matrix can be brought down through the four levels and become manifest in the physical through those people who can implement an idea in society. And so, with my great joy and my great gratitude for your presence, for your calls, I seal you in the flame of joyful freedom that I am.